Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Neil Smith is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Neil is a new friend, but we're not going to let that stop us. He's going to become an old friend because he has a lot to teach us. Neil is the CEO of Promontory Growth and Innovation, and for the last couple of decades, he's been helping companies like yours and mine improve their performance and profitability by understanding how to get out of their own way. And so he's taken all this knowledge and, with the help of Patricia O'Connell, has put all this information, all this experience into a book that you and I can benefit from called How Excellent Companies Avoid Dumb Things. He says there are 8 hidden barriers. In my case, they're probably 80, but at least 8 hidden barriers that plague even the best businesses. Neil Smith, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's great to have you here. Thanks for being part of my day, and congratulations on the book. I understand you've gotten some rave reviews and quite a bit of activity on the book lately.
Yes, we're lucky. It's only been out for a week, but it hit number 4 on Amazon and actually hit number 1 on Barnes & Noble. So thank you to those folks who are buying it.
Yeah, congratulations. So, you know, when you say dumb things, how excellent companies avoid dumb things, a lot of these things are basically getting out of their own way, isn't it?
No, that's exactly right. I think if you think of companies that you've worked with, or in many cases your own company, often companies do things that you don't want them to do, and they sort of leave you scratching the head. You know, I mean, why on earth would they do that? And what the book tries to lay out is why they do that, and also, of course, what you can do to avoid it.
Right. What is the biggest reason? Is it ego? Is it poor memory? Is it politics? Why do companies do dumb things?
Well, essentially, there are 8 barriers, but they break into 2 different types, Jim. And the first one is just human nature, just because of the way we are. And some of the barriers that relate to human nature are, you know, reluctance to change, or you can have a management blocker in the organization.
Neil, I say the problem with humanity is the humans.
No, I think that's right. It's also the beauty of humanity as well, Jim, I think, isn't it? And the second type of barriers are to do with the way organizations have to be structured. You know, you have to have organization within an organization. One of those is silos. And this is particularly true in larger organizations. You know, the larger your organization becomes, the more organization administration you've got to put in place. And that requires a lot more communication. And because of those gaps between different silos, that causes errors to be made.
You know, I believe, I'm glad you call that the second of the 2 big categories. And it's interesting that you did. And as just on a personal note, I wrote an article, golly, probably 10, 12 years ago, about what I call fiefdoms. Yeah, in business, a fiefdom is just like a silo, same thing. And that article, and then a subsequent audio that I published and distributed, has gotten more activity than anything I've ever done. People are fascinated. And also realize the danger, the caustic nature of these silos, of these fiefdoms, don't they? The human nature causes us, even though we know they're bad, causes us to allow them to happen.
No, that's absolutely right, Jim. In fact, I wish I'd talked to you before I'd written the book, because I think fiefdoms is actually a far better name than, you know, what I call the organizational silos. But it's actually exactly the same phenomenon. And you know, I mean, that in many ways it helps companies work better, but it also leads to a lack of coordination, and it leads, you know, to errors as well. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons, one of the big reasons why companies do dumb things.
Right. One of the things you say that they do, one of the dumb things they do is try to avoid controversy. Now, why would that just? Why would somebody have? I mean, obviously, you think anybody wants to avoid controversy, but you can't really fix things if you can't deal with the challenges, can you?
No, you're exactly right, and it's not avoiding controversy. Sorry, I pronounce it differently than you do.
We like it your way too. We can handle that.
Avoiding controversy is it's not actually a dumb thing. It's actually in human nature. This is what we do normally, right? We like to get on with the folks around us. But when there is a legitimate disagreement in a business and it doesn't get resolved, that can actually cause problems within the business. You know, an example of that, and I think one that I quote in the book, is in a publishing company where there were two divisions, and each of them had their own marketing unit. Mm-hmm. And it was very, and they should only have had one marketing unit for the company. But if you'd actually closed one of those marketing units, there would have been a loser, and there's a chance that that division head might lose the company, might leave the company. So, you know, you can't always actually remove controversy, even if you want to, even a great CEO or a great leader.
But to me, though, Neil, avoiding it is one thing, and I mean, maybe you don't change what you see, but at least you have to discuss it. So the reason you're making the decision to leave the controversy in place, you're doing it with full knowledge, and everybody knows what you're doing.
They do, and they see what you're doing, but they often can't understand what you're doing. You know, particularly if they're lower down an organization, and it looks strange. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, if you ask most people in a company, what things can they do to change? They'll come up with three or four examples straight away.
Right. Well, and you use the word change there. That's one of your big ones, is reluctant to change. A study that I reported on years ago said that two-thirds of all of us hate change. Only one-third will even, have any kind of a positive attitude toward change. That's pretty bad numbers for change, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's only two-thirds, Jim, to tell you the truth. Because, you know, I mean, we get used to doing things in one way, and we do them really well, don't we? We get to really be experts in doing what we do. And if change comes along, that challenges us. And by the way, you know, change also brings stress, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Right.
So people naturally avoid change.
Well, in the 21st century, if you can't lead change, not just accept it or manage it, but actually lead it, you will be given the opportunity not to have to worry about it, because you'll be out of business very soon. Neil Smith is our guest, folks, but he and Patricia O'Connell wrote the book, How Excellent Companies Avoid Dumb Things. We're going to get some more of Neil's wisdom after these messages, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me, I promise. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.